The story is told about a young man who worked in a grocery store in the produce department. One day, he was working in his department, and a woman came up to him and said, "Young man, I would like to buy a half of a head of lettuce." He said, "Excuse me?" She said, "I would like to buy a half of a head of lettuce." He said, "You're kidding, right? You're kidding. God made lettuce in whole heads, and that's how we sell them." She said, "Young man, I've been shopping in this store for 15 years, and you mean to tell me you are not willing to sell me half a head of lettuce?" And he said, "Well, listen, ma'am." He said, "If you really want me to, I'll go talk to the manager." And she said, "Oh, I'd really appreciate that." So he goes to the front of the store to talk to the manager. What he didn't realize was the woman followed him. So he goes up to the manager and he says, "You are not going to believe this, but some lame brain idiot of a woman back in produce wants to buy a half a head of lettuce." And just then, out of the corner of his eye, he sees the woman. And he turns and says, "And this nice woman would like to buy the other half." Well, later on in the day, the manager comes to this guy, and he comes up to him and says, "Man, I'm going to tell you, that is the quickest thinking on your feet that I have ever seen in my life." He said, "Where did you learn that?" He said, "Well, I'm from Wisconsin. I learned it in Wisconsin." You know about Wisconsin. Wisconsin is the state with good football teams and ugly women. And the manager, his countenance falls, and he says, "My wife is from Wisconsin." And the young man said, "What team did she play for?" Take your Bibles, open them up to James chapter 3. James 3. The letter of James, very practical letter. Mike, it's the Proverbs of the New Testament. In our adult Sunday school class, where they're studying Proverbs. And this is the Proverbs of the New Testament. This Proverbs in the Old Testament was written to teach and instruct God's people on how to live wisely, how to live wisely, how to make wise decisions. And Proverbs, in Proverbs were exhorted, and Mike talked about this today, seek wisdom like gold or silver. We're to seek wisdom. And they're talking a lot about how to live wisely in the Sunday school class. Well, in James chapter 3, verses 13 through 18, James speaks about wisdom. And I don't need to tell you, but I'm going to. We live in a messed up world. It's a mess. I mean, it's a world in which wrong is oft called right, and right is oft called wrong. It's a world full of lies, fake news. It's a world in which people, I'll tell you what, people lack discretion. I mean, common sense. They don't have common sense. Lacking discretion. There's a sense, I feel, it's an inappropriateness. People just don't know even how to be appropriate, act appropriately today. It's a world of violence. It's a world of hatred. It's a world of bigotry. It's a world that exalts folly, promotes lies. But you know what? That's where we are. That's where we live. And we are called to live in this world and to live out our faith in this world. In the church, but in our homes, in the office, in the workaday world, and out in the world. We're called to live out our faith. You know what that takes? Wisdom. I've often said about parents today, I'll tell you about parents today, I'm kind of glad our kids are up right now. You know, they grew up, they're up now. But parents today, I've often said this, to be a good parent today, you need the wisdom of Solomon, you need the patience and perseverance of Job, and you need the love of God. I'm going to tell you what, to live in this world today, Christians, God's people, to live in this world, we need wisdom. We need wisdom. I need wisdom to live in this world. You know, sometimes it just, how do you live here? It's so messed up. Well, James has a lot to say about wisdom in our verses today. So look at verse 13 through 18 of chapter 3. I want to read these, and let's look at what he has to say. Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly, natural, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. And the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Lord, before we go into this word, we bow before you. And Lord, as I heard in Sunday school class today, it's amazing, but you have a word for each one of us today. You want to speak to every one of us here today in some way, in some area. It'll be different maybe for every person, but that's the kind of the miracle of preaching, miracle of the word. It's living, active. It speaks to us. And Lord, I pray that we would have ears that would hear and help us to be wise. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Well, James has a lot to say about wisdom, but first of all, on your outline, the manifestation of wisdom. You see, in verse 13, he begins this section with a question. Who among you is wise and understanding? Now, as I thought about that, imagine yourself being in the congregation and James is speaking. And he asks that question, who among you is wise and understanding? Do we have any wise guys or wise gals here this morning? You know, if you're wise, raise your hand. You know, how would you feel? Would you think, is this a trick question? You know, is this trick? Because if I raise my hand, what's that say? I'm what? I'm kind of proud. Oh, I'm wise, you know. And you know, being proud is not wise. So is this a trick question? Certainly, I thought if I were there, I'd feel a little bit uncomfortable. What am I supposed to do? But what's he asking here? And that gets into the definitions here. When he says, who is wise? What is wisdom? What is wisdom? The word here he uses for wisdom is the word sophos. It's the word we get our word philosophy. The love of wisdom. Or this is the one I like, sophomore. Our word sophomore, sophos more, a wise fool. Did you know that? I'm sorry for all you sophomores out there, but that's what it means, a wise fool. But what is biblical wisdom? What is wisdom? Well, let me tell you what, first of all, it's not. It's not the accumulation of knowledge. It's not just accumulating a bunch of facts. I mean, you can know a whole lot. You can be a walking encyclopedia. You can be a 5-time Jeopardy champion and be a fool. I'll tell you what, I'm going to say this. I think our universities are full of people like that. There are people who doctor this and doctor that, and they have all this knowledge, and I'll tell you what, they can't live life. Their homes are a mess. Their marriages are a mess. They don't know how to live life. They're fools. It's just not accumulation. You don't get biblical knowledge just by reading books or going to a seminar. I think I'm going to go to a seminar and then I'll be wise. That's not, and it's not about the letters before your name or after your name, you know, having all kind of degrees. That's not biblical wisdom. It's not because you're a doctor of whatever that makes you wise. So what is biblical wisdom? Let me just give you a simple definition. Wisdom is the application of knowledge to life that leads to godly living. Listen to that. Wisdom is the application of knowledge. It's just not having knowledge. It's the application of knowledge to life that leads to godly living. That is true wisdom. Warren Wiersbe says, knowledge enables us to take things apart, but wisdom enables us to put things together and relate God's truth to daily life. That's wisdom. That's wisdom. I like that. So who is wise? And then he says, who is understanding? Who's understanding? King James says, endued with knowledge. That word is only used one time in the New Testament right here. One time in the New Testament. And what it refers to is being an expert or a specialist in something. And we all know what a specialist is, right? If the doctor suspects you have cancer, you go to a specialist called an oncologist, right? Or if the doctor listens and says, I think you might have a heart problem, you better go to a cardiologist. You got to go to a specialist, someone that is trained in that area and knows about that. So we know what a specialist is. We know what an expert is, right? I remember a former retired pastor who came to Faith Bible Fellowship. Remember Pastor Lacey Harless, some of you? Some of you knew Pastor Lacey, and he always said to me, he said, I know what an expert is, Pastor. An expert, it's a former drip. Think about that. But what is an expert? An expert is someone who has a superior knowledge in some area. And generally, people go to these experts for what? For advice. You go for advice. And you're having problems maybe with your children. You go to an expert in child rearing or family. You're having problems with your car. You go to an expert. You go to an auto mechanic. They know a little bit more than we do and know how to fix things. That's what an expert is. And so he's saying here, who can discern God's truth, relate it to, live it out in daily life? Who among you is an expert or a specialist in living life? Would you please raise your hand? That's what he's asking. Now that's some question, huh? Are we wise? We have understanding? Then he gives them a challenge. Do you see it there? He says, I don't want you to show it by raising your hand. Anybody can raise their hand. Anybody can say, I'm an expert. Boy, I'm wise. Listen to the challenge. Let him show by his good behavior, his deeds done in gentleness of wisdom. The challenge is this. If you're wise, show me. You know, he said this before, hasn't he? He said, do you have faith? Show me. Anybody here a Christian? James says, show me. Anybody here a disciple of Jesus? Show me. You remember where James was from, right? He's from the state of Missouri, the show me state. Show me. So he says, listen, are you wise? Show me. That word show me, very neat word. It means bring it to light. Display it. Exhibit it. Well, how can we do that, James? Well, by good behavior and deeds done in gentleness of wisdom. Good behavior. King James says good conversation. That's an old word. That's a 1611 word. Conversation means lifestyle. So by your lifestyle, the Message version says by living well. The Amplified version says by noble living. And the word there, it's a neat word because it means, you know what? It means beautiful. Beautiful. It describes something that's pleasing to the eye. And applied to people, it means beautiful by reason of purity of heart and life. Show me, he says, your wisdom by a beautiful life. A beautiful life, a life well lived, a life, listen, that reflects Jesus Christ. Show me your wisdom. Ruth Graham, the late wife of Billy Graham, gave a definition of a saint, which I think is pretty neat. She said, A saint is a person who makes it easy to believe in Jesus. Oh, I like that. I like that. James says, are you wise? Show me. Show me by a beautiful life that reflects the life of Jesus, by a life that makes it easier for people to believe in Jesus. Show me. That's his challenge. And not only show me with that, but show me with in deeds done in the gentleness of wisdom. The King James Version there again says meekness, and that's a good translation. This is the same word that Jesus used over in the Sermon on the Mount where he said, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth, remember? That's this word. And do you know that this word, this characteristic, was a characteristic of Jesus? Because he said, take my yoke upon you. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, he said. For I am meek and lowly in heart. You see, meekness, and let me just say this because I don't want us to misunderstand. Meekness, sometimes we think of meekness, a meek person is a weak person, or a meek person is a milquetoast. Just let anybody do anything. I'll tell you what, Jesus was meek. but he took a whip and he drove out the money changers in the temple. Jesus was meek, but he stood toe to toe with the Pharisees and said, "You bunch of hypocrites." I'll tell you, meekness is not weakness. Meekness is power under control. And that's what Jesus was. And when you are truly meek, there's several things. It'll show itself in gentleness when provoked. When somebody provokes you, how do you respond? Are you meek? Do you respond with a gentle answer? Or do you fight fire with fire? Meekness. Boldness in the face of evil, just like Jesus did with the Pharisees. And it'll show itself in openness to correction of others. When I'm meek and somebody comes and says, maybe comes with a criticism, I'm willing to examine myself and say, you know what, maybe I need to change here. That's a meek person. And you know what, that's one way you show wisdom. You show wisdom, it says, by good behavior and deeds done in meekness, in gentleness. If we think we're wise, James says, don't raise your hand. Show me. Amen. I want to see a beautiful life. I want my life to be like, I want to be wise. We need to have a beautiful life. If we're wise, it'll show up on the outside. It really will. Well, James goes on to share two types of wisdom. A false wisdom and how it shows up. And the true wisdom and how it shows up. So number two on your outline is the manifestation of the false wisdom. Verses 14 through 16. And again, excuse me. In these verses, he shares the operation of this wisdom, the origin of the wisdom, and the outcome of this wisdom. First of all, the operation. What does false wisdom look like? How does it show up? Verse 14, but if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, talked about heart in the Sunday school class today. If it's in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. False wisdom shows up in bitter jealousy, selfish ambition, and I think King James says strife. Does it not? Somebody have King James? Strife. In pride and in deceit. And when I thought about that, you know what came to my mind? The world. Isn't that the way the world operates? I mean, is there jealousy out in the world? Oh my, just go into the office and somebody's jealous of this person. They got the promotion, I didn't. You know, wherever. Jealousy, bitter jealousy. Of possessions, of promotion, whatever. Jealousy. How about anybody out there living for self? Anybody not living for self? We all know it's all about me. We live in that world. Selfish ambition. You know what? It's about getting ahead, people. It's about climbing the corporate ladder. It doesn't matter if I have to step on somebody to get there. It doesn't matter if I have to lie, cheat, steal. Everybody else is doing it. As long as you don't get caught, it's great. I'm fine. That's wisdom. That's how the world operates. And how about pride? Any pride out there? Oh, my. You see it all over, you know? The world revolves around me. And look how smart I am. Look how smart I am. You know, but if somebody has to tell you how smart they are, they aren't. If somebody has to tell you how good they are, guess what? They're not. You know, LeBron James doesn't go around saying, I'm a good basketball player. I really am. I'm a good basketball player. I really, really, really am. He doesn't have to. He just shows it out on the court. He's the best. He doesn't have to go around bragging, does he? But out there, it's all they do is, you know, Look how good I am. And how about lies and fake news? It's out there. It's out there. It's the world. Oh, but wait. Who's he talking to? We're talking about. He's talking to Christians. People in the church. Oh my. Can that kind of stuff get in the church? Can we get like this? Can we get jealous? Can we get jealous of somebody else's gifts in the church? Can we get jealous of somebody's possessions? Can we get jealous of somebody else gets a pat on the back? Can we get jealous? How come they didn't pat me on the back? Oh my. How about, can we get selfish? No, not us. Self-centered? It's about me. It's my ministry. It's my church. It's my pulpit. It's my, you know, it's my Sunday school class. Can we get kind of like that? It's my way or the
highway.
You know. You know. But you know what? That kind of stuff can get in the church. Can pride get in the church? Can deceitfulness get in the church? The sad part about it, it can get in the church. And this selfish ambition, I think it's strife in the King James. You know what that word really means? Politicking. It is an electioneering spirit. And I'll tell you what, I'll tell you one thing I hate. I do, and I know some of you really get into this and all that kind of, I hate politics. I hate politics. I don't like watching the news. It's dirty business. I don't like it. But I especially don't like it if it gets in the church. I've told the elders of this church over and over and over again that faith is doing things without scheming. Right, Ernie? Faith is doing things without scheme. If we got a politic to get something done in this church, we're not doing it by faith. And God will not bless it. God will not bless it. But listen, if we're not careful, these characteristics of false pseudo-wisdom can get in our lives. And what's the origin of these things, by way? Verse 15. Doesn't come down from God above. Doesn't come down from above. It's earthly. It's natural. It's demonic. It's earthly. It's of the world. It's getting the world's philosophies and they come into the church. It's natural. You know where some of these things come from? Inside here. From our natures, our sin nature. I'm going to tell you something about your pastor. You're going to be appalled. I'm selfish. Oh, well, my sin nature is selfish. My sin nature wants it's all about me. But you know what? So is yours. I tell people, if you knew me the way I know me, you wouldn't want to listen to my sermon. But if I knew you the way you know you, I wouldn't want to preach to you anyway. Because we've got a sin nature that's selfish, self-centered. You know, it wants pats on the back. It's proud. That's where it comes from. It's earthly. It's natural. And it comes from hell. It's demonic. Satan pushes this kind of wisdom and wants this kind of wisdom to get into our lives and into the church. Well, why would he want that? Because of the outcome. Do you see the outcome? Verse 16? What's the result of this? For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing. demons spread this kind of stuff among Christians to create disorder, confusion, division, and strife in the church. They want to destroy the church. They want, listen, not only the church, they want to destroy your family. They do. They want to destroy homes and marriages and the family. And they want to get us all bound up in that kind of wisdom, because you know why? Because then we're distracted. Yes. That's a tactic of Satan, distraction. He gets us all over here distracted so we forget our mission is to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so they sow this in the church. And they want to destroy the testimony of the church of Jesus Christ. Just like I heard one guy say, yeah, you Christians love the lost, but you don't love each other. Or another guy, you want me to become a Christian? One of you? Why would I want to become one of you when you can't even get along with each other? Oh my. You see, that's the outcome of this pseudo-wisdom. It's disorder, it is division, it's distraction, it's every evil thing. So we don't want that kind of wisdom here, right? We don't want that kind of wisdom in our church or in our lives or in our homes. We want true wisdom. So number three on your outline, the manifestation of true wisdom, verses 17 and 18. And again, he shares the operation, the origin, and the outcome of true wisdom. First of all, the operation. What does it look like? Look at verse 17. It is first pure. First pure. This speaks of holiness and purity of life, free from defilement. First emphasizes, this is, you want wisdom? Purity of life. You know, Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. They shall see God. Blessed. You're blessed when you have a pure heart. You know, Paul writes, to those who are pure, all things are pure. But to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure, because both their heart and their conscience are defiled. You see, God says if we're wise, you know how it's going to show up? Purity of life. Then peaceable. In contrast to false witness that leads to strife, true wisdom leads to peace. Scripture says, as far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Scripture says, blessed are the peacemakers. That's wise to do that. But note this, it's not peace at any price. It's not peace at any price. This is not peace by compromise with evil. How do we know that? It's first pure, then peaceable, then gentle. Gentle. You see, peace, or this kind of wisdom, it's gentle. This kind of wisdom doesn't run over people, roughshod over people. You see, it doesn't boss people around. I'll tell you what, there are some churches, and this is true, where the pastor is the dictator. The pastor's the boss. And again, you do what I say. It's my way or the highway. There are some churches, folks, where the leadership team, they are a bunch of frustrated drill sergeants. I thank God for the leaders we have in this church. It's not like that. It's not like that. Wisdom doesn't run roughshod over people and boss people around. Wisdom, in fact, in the home, wisdom is gentle. Guys, We're not the boss. And you say, ha, ha, ha. I know, and I have my, I'm the boss, and I have my wife's permission to say so, you know. Or I'm the head of this home. And the wife, yeah, I'm the neck, and the neck turns the head. But you know what? Wisdom doesn't boss people around. Wisdom is gentle. It is gentle. And that goes the other way too, wives. Wisdom doesn't boss people around. You know, one of the greatest leaders in our country that ever led this country was Abraham Lincoln. Now, again, some of you might not agree with everything that he did, but he was a wise man. Do you know what Carl Sandburg, how he described him? He said, Abraham Lincoln was a man of velvet steel. I thought, oh, that's good. Because we should have convictions and we need to be strong leaders, but we need to be gentle. Velvet steel. Wisdom from this kind of wisdom, this true wisdom, not only is that, but this true wisdom shows that it's reasonable, easy to be entreated. Someone, it's approachable. It's full of mercy and good fruits. It's unwavering. It's without partiality. It's without hypocrisy. You know, this kind of wisdom, if a person has true biblical wisdom, they're the same here in church on Sunday morning and the same in the office on Monday morning. Yeah. No hypocrisy. This kind of wisdom is the same when by yourself or in a crowd. This kind of wisdom doesn't wear a religious mask on Sunday morning and a worldly mask the rest of the week. Yeah. It's no hypocrisy. What you see is what you get. Amen. Oh my. That's what this true wisdom looks like. Yeah. It's first pure, then peaceable, then gentle, then reasonable, then it's full of mercy and good works. It's unwavering, it's impartial, it's without hypocrisy. That's how it operates. That's what it looks like. James says, show me. Now I'm looking for that. How's my life line up with those things? Are there any of those that maybe the Holy Spirit's saying, boy, we need to work here. We need to work on this one. Where does this wisdom come from? Oh, verse 17. It's from above. It's from above. James wrote in 1:17, you remember, every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above. It comes from above. True wisdom comes down from God. It comes down from God. God is all wise. God is perfect in wisdom. Now the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, to him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. That's what Paul wrote. The only wise God. God has all wisdom. Wisdom, if we want wisdom and knowledge, cometh from the Lord, Proverbs. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. That's where it comes from. It comes down from above. So that the psalmist writes, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. In fact, Job states what? Behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. You see, listen, how do we get to be wise? First of all, let me say this. If you're here this morning and you have never asked Christ into your heart, you need to do that if you want to be wise. Amen. In fact, listen, the wisest thing you could ever do is to accept Christ into your heart. Jesus, Ruby sang about it. We're all dirty. We've all got dirty hands. Amen. We've got dirty hearts. How could a holy God ever accept me? He died on the cross, Jesus did, for those sins. Yes. And he says, if you believe that I paid for them and rose from the dead and you ask me, I'll come into your life and I will give you eternal life. And the wisest thing anybody can do is accept Christ. Amen. That's the wisest thing. And in him are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Yes. When you have Christ, you have the person who is all wise in you. And so if you're here this morning and you've never accepted Christ, you need to do that. You'll be foolish. You're foolish if you don't do it today. Yes. You're foolish. The most foolish thing to do is to know and reject it. Well, I don't reject it. I just don't accept it. That is rejecting it. Yes, it is. Oh, that you would receive Christ today. Oh, that'd be the wisest thing you could ever do. Amen. But we that have Christ in our heart, how can we have wisdom? How can we have wisdom? You know what we need to do? Proverbs tells us, seek it. Yes. Seek wisdom. Seek it. Seek it like gold and silver. Seek it like honey, your favorite dessert. Seek it like chocolate chunk ice cream and handles. Or what is it? Raspberry truffle chocolate at handles. Seek it. How do you seek it? And Mike said it today. You seek it in his word. Amen. Guess what? This word is able to make wise the simple. Now, if somebody says, are you simple? I'll probably get that hand up. Not wise, but I'm simple. But you know what? The word is able to make one wise. So we need to read the word. We need to hear it, Mike. We need to read it. But then we need to do something more. And this is for guys. Girls, you can have this too. Follow the directions. Follow the directions. You know, you get that new snowblower. You know, say, I don't need those directions. I can put it together. Read the directions and follow the directions. That's what we got to do. Because when you do that, you know what? You become wise. The word is able to make one wise. But it's not just reading it. It's just not hearing it in a sermon and then going out and just saying, oh, well, okay, fine. You got to do it. We got to Nike it, right? We got to do it. And that makes you wise. And then there's another way we get wise. It comes from above. We have to ask for it. You remember James? You remember James 1:5? I know you have it all memorized. If anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives liberally without reproach, and it shall be given to him. Is that a promise? Yes. It is. So every day this coming week, I'd like you to read your Bible, and I want you to pray, God, make me wise. Make me wise, God. Help me, God. Give me wisdom. I need it living in this messy world. I need it as a mother or a father raising up kids in this world. I need it. I need it when I go into the workaday world and everybody's, you know, trying to get over on everybody else and everybody's cheating and everybody. I need to know how to live out this life. God, give me wisdom. And you know what will happen? He'll do it. He promised. Got to ask in faith. Don't doubt him. Ask in faith. He'll give it to you because it comes from above. And what's the outcome? Do you see verse 18? The outcome? And the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. It results in righteousness and peace in our personal lives, in the church. You see, you know what it results in, folks? A beautiful life.
Amen.
A life that reflects the Lord Jesus Christ. A life, listen, a life that makes it easier for someone else to believe in Jesus. That's wisdom.
Amen.
Lord, we just bow before you. Just thank you for this word from your word. And God, I just, none of us raise our hand when the questions ask, are you wise? Are you an expert in living? Boy, Lord, the longer I live, the less I feel I'm an expert in any area. And the more I feel need for you, and every one of us feel that, Lord. And today, I pray for myself. We pray together. Lord, give us wisdom. Make us wise. Help us to make wise decisions, wise choices. Help us to live in a way, God, that our lives will reflect you and other people around us. It'll make it easier for them to come to Christ. Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.